Thank you for joining with us on this 25th day of October. Today, if the Lord wills, we'll be reading from Luke chapters 10 and 11. And I invite you to get your Bible and turn with us to Luke chapter 10. And let us remember, as always, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yesterday, in our reading, we read where Jesus puts his apostles to the test. He called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. And I know this may seem archaic to talk about demons and devils, but the first recorded words of our Savior was to his mother when he said, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" And what was the Father's business? The Father's business is to heal and to restore. We read also yesterday about Mary Magdalene, who had been healed of evil spirits as Jesus went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 disciples were with Jesus. And in Luke chapter 8 verse 2, a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. And Mary Magdalene was a very sinful woman. She was demon possessed. She was a prostitute. But when she heard that Jesus was near, she wanted to see him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, she was convicted of her sin, and the conviction of her sin was manifested by her intense sorrow and by her intense love for her Savior. And she washed his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair, and Christ forgave her. And Jesus taught the supreme lesson that we talked about at length the other day when we were in the book of Mark. But that lesson is, they who are forgiven much also love much. And there is no sin that is too great for Christ to forgive. And the blessed Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, gives repentance and faith to the very chiefest of sinners. And wherever this gospel is preached, Jesus said, this conversion story of this very sinful woman will be told as a memorial to her. And so once again, when we get to the book of Luke, we take a moment to speak of this sinful heathen woman who was healed by the love and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with his forgiveness, there is a place in his kingdom for all who will repent. And yesterday we read the Lord's instructions to his 12 apostles. And today in chapter 10, we'll read now the Lord also appoints another 70 also to go and preach the gospel. Let us know that this is the plan. This is the method. This is God's holy work of salvation that he uses to bring about the conversion of the lost. And one thing that we observe in this command to go forth and preach the gospel, that the commission contains a special reference to the devil and to bodily sickness. And Jesus gives the messengers of the gospel authority over the devils. And when the demons are cast out of a person's life, these diseases that have come upon that person are the works of the devil. The devil's work is to kill, steal, and destroy. Let us know that those works are reversed. And let us know that every Christian, it is our duty to resist the devil and all of his works. And when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And we are in a warfare. We are in a constant warfare against the prince of this world. And the works of the devil are mitigated when the commission is obeyed by those whom the Lord sends to preach the kingdom of God. And it is by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. It is by the preaching of the word that the Lord has chosen as a means to bestow his grace. And Jesus, when he sends out those with the message, he sends them out with instructions. And this is something very important for us to note right here. We Christians would do well if we would heed and follow these instructions. He told them, he said, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Jesus would have his gospel proclaimed simply and plainly, without all of this pomp and grandeur and showmanship. This is the Lord's way to propagate the gospel. Let us take his instructions. And the Lord prepared his disciples to meet with opposition, to meet with unbelief. He told them that they were going to deal with unrepentant sinners. And he said, those who will not receive the message that you preach. And he gives instructions how we are to behave when the message of the gospel that is preached is rejected. He said, and whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And every Sunday school teacher, everyone who ministers the gospel would benefit from reading carefully this portion of our Lord's instructions. Every missionary, every Bible teacher, every Sunday school worker, let us not be discouraged when it seems that all of our work, all of our life's work is in vain. All of our labor is wasted. Let us remember that the very first proclaimers of the gospel, the very first teachers whom Jesus appointed and sent forth, they were given the distinct instructions that not all would believe. But let us know that it is our job to plant the seed. It is our job to water. But it is the Lord's job to give the increase. We have our duties to do. We have our job to do in the kingdom of God. And the results are up to God. It is the Holy Spirit alone who can give spiritual life. And our Lord knows the heart of every man. And he does not judge us on whether the harvest is big or small. But he judges us according to our work. Our work of planting and our work of watering. Today in our reading, when Jesus sends out the 70, Jesus points out the great sinfulness of those who reject the gospel message. Our Lord declares that it will be more tolerable at the last day for Sodom than for those of our day who reject the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And Jesus teaches us that there are degrees of punishment. And those who reject the teaching of the gospel, those who reject the spiritual light that is shown upon them, those who are privileged to live in a nation where the word of God is preached, more will be required of them than those who live where the gospel is not preached. Now it is true that without the word of God, man should still seek a holy God, and man are still without an excuse. As the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans, that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let us know that the heathens have their five senses. They can see, they can hear, they can smell, they can touch, they can taste. And even if because of bodily infirmities, they're lacking one or two of their senses. Even like Helen Keller, she could not see or hear. But when her teacher taught her through her sense of touch, Helen Keller received the message of the gospel. And you know what her words was? When her teacher tapped out to her about the creator of this universe, and she did this by splashing water on her and tapping out that that was water, and feeling the warmth of the sunshine and tapping out to her that that was the sun. And after she had developed this language to communicate with Helen Keller, she told her about Jesus. And Helen Keller typed back, and she said, "I knew he existed, I just did not know what his name was." And the Apostle Paul tells us that even those who have not been preached to the gospel should still seek him because of creation. But sinful mankind, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art." Let us know that even the heathen who have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are totally without excuse. But those who have heard the gospel and who have rejected the gospel, they have seen the miracles of Christ, they have heard the gospel preached, and yet they remain in their sins and they remain unrepentant. Jesus teaches us that man is responsible for the lost condition of his own soul. Those who reject the gospel, those who remain unbelievers after hearing the gospel preached, are very deeply guilty. And they will receive the greater wrath of God because God called and they refused. God spoke to them and they did not regard the preaching of the gospel. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will be upon their own heads. The judge of all the earth will do right. The sin of unbelief is the unpardonable sin. And the unbeliever may be living a good life on this earth. They may not have any gross, open sins. They may be good family people. They may be good providers for their family. They may be good neighbors. But if they have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will one day find themselves in the pit with the devil and his angels. Jesus told those whom he sent, he said, "He that hears you hears me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me." Yesterday in our reading of Luke chapter 9, we see the power of a bad conscience upon the unrepentant. When Herod heard of all those things that were done by our Lord, Scripture says he was perplexed. And he said, "John the Baptist, have I beheaded? But who is this?" And Herod, the great and powerful ruler, he heard the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his sins were called to his remembrance. Even in his royal palace, in all of his splendor, he was disturbed by his conscience about what he had done to John the Baptist. He had beheaded John the Baptist because John the Baptist had said it was not legal for him to have his brother's wife. And even though he was conscious of his sin, and he was surrounded by everything that could possibly make a person happy there in his royal palace, but the report of another preacher of righteousness filled him with alarm and his wickedness in taking his brother's wife and then in killing the messenger who had told him it was wrong. He was guilty and he felt that guilt. He was condemned and he felt that condemnation. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he said, "The way of the transgressor is hard." Herod's sin had found him out. The sword had silenced John the Baptist, but it could not silence the truth. But though Herod would not turn and repent from his sin and would not be healed, but those who did receive, verse 11 tells us, "And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that need of healing." Let us know that our Lord Jesus Christ is ready to receive all who come to him. If Herod the Tetrarch had come to Christ, he would have received him. Even though Herod had killed a man whom Jesus had said, "No greater man has ever been born of a woman than John the Baptist." That is the compassion, and that is the gentleness, and that is the forgiveness of our Savior. He is ready to heal. He is ready to forgive. He is ready to give eternal life. He is ready to receive any who come to Him. And that's the message of the gospel. And our Lord Jesus Christ uses the preaching of the gospel to bring men to Himself. And let us never forget that that is the method by which men are saved, by the foolishness of preaching. Yesterday we read in our reading where one came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Let us know that when we are workers in His vineyard, we are not working under our own terms and under our own contract. When we follow Christ, we follow Him on His terms. As long as we have any life in us, as long as we have any energy in us, as long as we have lungs, and as long as we have a voice, let us lift Him up. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." We have a job to do. Jesus said, "No man who looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Let us keep our eyes on the finish line. Let us remember Lot's wife. When she was escaping from Sodom and Gomorrah, she looked back and became a pillar of salt. That's all the scripture says about her, is that she looked back and her destruction is recorded. Her heart was still in Sodom. Jesus warns, He said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. I say unto you, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with self-indulgence and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." Let us know that worldly ambitions and worldly possessions are insignificant to a child of God. Today in our reading, we'll read about a lawyer who stood up and tempted Christ, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied to the man, "What is written in the law?" And the man said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus told that man, "You have answered right. This do, and you shall live." And then we see where this lawyer tried to justify himself. But my friend, let us never try to justify ourselves. Let us just throw ourselves completely upon the mercy of God. And let us know that it is at the mercy of God where the salvation is. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He has saved us and called us. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and read our scripture for today. Father, we worship You today. We bow before You. Lord, let us know that inasmuch as we do it unto the least of these amongst us, we are doing it unto You. We cannot wash Your feet with our tears as Mary Magdalene did. We cannot take up Your cross as Simon the Cyrenian did. But we can take a little child and present to them the gospel. And You have told us, inasmuch as we do it unto the least of these, Your brethren, we have done it unto You. So Lord, our prayer today is that You will give us an opportunity to be a servant of Yours today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Neither carry purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And whatsoever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, 'The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you.' But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on you, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chazaren! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that despiseth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, and poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. And it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto him, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and you shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, Though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your Father, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees! For you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and Passover judgment and the love of God. These ought you have to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, you lawyers, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touched not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed kill them, and you build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him. And that completes our scripture reading for today. Thank you for joining with us. If the Lord wills, we'll be back with you tomorrow. And remember, until then, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.